Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We are here again, Lord, to hear your word. And we know, as always, the entrance of your word brings light. Let that light shine in our hearts this morning to bring even your word. And let it inspire our hearts to understand what the Lord is saying. The Bible says, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Can you say amen? Amen? Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I think we can do better than that. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to start right here and try to go through this very quickly. Our message today is called Use It or Lose It. The rewards of stewardship. So I'm going to try to take it slow because it'd be more of a teaching. Again, it's use it or lose it. The rewards of stewardship. And I'm going to add on, talk to us for a little bit, you know, about the scriptures and some things, and then, you know, just, you know, bring it out the way the Lord put it on my heart. I'm going to start in Revelation chapter 22, and I want those guys in the back, put up the scriptures quickly, please. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. Amen? Amen. And my reward is with me. Who's speaking there? The Lord who? The Lord Jesus is the one that is speaking there. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. To give every man according as his work shall be. I want you to think about that for just a minute. Behold, I come quickly. Quickly, some people don't quite understand what that means. You know, it's not necessarily, you know, means soon. It could be soon. But it means suddenly. You know, that's what it means. More importantly, suddenly. You know, because some people say, well, he had been saying that he's coming quickly for some time. You know, we're still here. Well, you know, it's more suddenly. Because, you know, in the hour that people most likely are not thinking about it, that's the hour in which he will come. So that's the first scripture that we want us to think about this morning. The next one is in Romans chapter 4 and verse 12. Now, remember in this one we just read, he said he's going to give to everyone according to their work. He's going to give their reward. My reward is with me. So, Romans 14 and verse 12. You know, it says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Amen? Hello? Every one of us. I mean, nobody can escape that. We are going to have to give an account unto God. So I want to talk about that today. There are many teachings of Jesus in the Bible and several scriptures that deal with this subject of, you know, when Jesus comes and how he's going to reward and so forth. And how is Jesus going to reward his servants or stewards when you come? And I'm not talking about, when I'm talking about this today, I'm not talking about those, you know, because some people think that when we talk about serving the Lord, think it's only those who are in the ministry, like pastors and so forth. No. Ye all shall serve the Lord thy God. That's the commandment. We shall serve him, we shall worship him, you know, and hopefully we shall live with him forever. Amen. Now, so this is for everybody, really. But how is he going to do it? How is he going to bring the reward? So we're going to look at some stories in the Bible. We're going to look at some things that Jesus himself explained in the Bible. You know, and there is a principle that I'm going to bring out in the middle of this. It's a very important principle. Remember the message. The title is Use It or Lose It. So it's two parts, the rewards of stewardship. So let's pick up a story that Jesus told here in the book of Luke chapter 19. I want to take time to read it. Two places in the Bible where this same story is described. One is in Luke 19, which we're about to read. The other one is in Matthew 25. I may not read that one, but I'll give you for reference. For reference, that one is Matthew. I'm not going to read that one. Matthew 25, verses 14 to about verse 30. That's a reference for that one. But I'm going to read this one out of Luke 19. I want to take the time to read it. The narrations in Luke 19 and Matthew 25 on this particular subject, they are very similar. There are some slight differences, you know. And I may switch back to the one in Matthew, you know, when I see a difference, you know, just so you know. But here, let me start at Luke 19 and verse 12. He said, therefore, this is Jesus, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he went and he's going to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now this one, you know, one of the reasons I like to read this one was because this phrase was not in Matthew. This occupy until I come. And I like that. You know, occupy, stay busy, you know, until I come. Do something, you know, until I come. Now, the citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And it came to pass, when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded his servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money. Now remember, you know, in this place, he called it money. I'm going to refer later on to the one in Matthew, where he called it talents, you know. And to know how much everyone had gained by trading. You know, so he was expecting something from there. He wasn't just give them the thing and they just do nothing with it. He was expecting something. Then the first came and said, Lord, thy pound had gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, this is another principle I want to point out today, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, you know, have authority over 10 cities. Now, so he did well, and the Lord promoted him and gave him even more. Well, initially, it was just a pound. I don't know whatever that pound was what he got. But because he did well with it, now he got rulership over 10 cities. Now, the second one also came. He said, well, Lord, thy pound had gained 5 pounds. And the Lord also said to him, likewise, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came and said, Lord, here is your pound. And I have kept it laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee because thou art an austere man. And thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou hast not sown. And he said unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping where I have not sowed. Wherefore then did you not give my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have received mine with usury, that's interest. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that had 10 pounds. This is another principle that I'm going to highlight today. Take from the one that did nothing with it, give it to the one that already had the most. And they said unto him, Lord, he already has 10 pounds. Why are you giving him more? Basically is what they are saying. And then he said, for I say unto you that everyone which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, now notice this, even that which he hath shall be taken from him. And the reason he didn't have was because he did not produce. See, it wasn't that he didn't have, he had. He was given something, just like the others were given. But he did not produce. So a better way of looking at this is, for he that does not produce that which he was given, from which he was expected to produce, will be taken from him and given to somebody else. Amen? That's the lesson. All right. I don't want to read the full story in Matthew 25, but I want to point out some things there. So let's turn to it quickly. This one is Matthew 25, verses 14 to about 30. In this case, Jesus says, for the kingdom of heaven is, you know, like a man traveling into a far country, called his own servants, delivered them his goods. Now, in this particular place, we'll see that he called it talents. This story here, brings out something slightly different. 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, a single talent to one person. So there were 3 of them. 1 got 5, 1 got 2, and 1 got 1. Now look at verse 15. He gave to every man. This is one of the ones I want to point out here in Matthew. He gave to every man according to his several ability. So he already knew their ability. And so he gave to them according to their ability. And straight away he took his journey. Well, as the story went, the one that got 5 went and traded with him, got 5 more. The one that traded with the 2 got 2 more, and so forth. You know. But the one that had a single talent, what did he do? He said, verse 18, he that had received the one went and digged in the earth, buried his talent. You may have heard this phrase that say, don't bury your talent. This is where that came from. Buried his talent, you know, and so forth. After a long time, he came, he reckoned with them, and they gave, you know, account. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So they gave account. The one that had 5, he came and said, I have gained 5 more. And look at I like the way that Matthew puts these recommendations. Blessings, you know, commendations that the Lord gives. So I want to read that one. Verse 21. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now here's some rewards that come. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will also make thee ruler over many things. Can you say amen? Amen. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's beautiful. I mean, you know, just to hear those words from the Lord is worth the price of everything. Just to hear those words from him. The same thing when the one that had received the 2 came. And I want you to notice, the one in this particular story, the one that received 5 got 5 more. That's 100%. The one that received 2 got 2 more. That's exactly 100%. So they both did exactly the same. Because, you know, it was according to their several ability. The Lord already knew that this one had the ability to trade with 5. So he gave him 5. He knew that this one had the ability to do well with 2. Gave him 2. And they produced exactly the same. 100% each. And the same commendation. Well done, verse 23. Thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The same thing he said to both of them. Exactly the same. And then the other one that received 1 talent came and complained. Because you gave me only 1 talent, whereas you gave that one 5 and the other one 2, you know. And that's like many people today. Well, because you may be thinking of yourself that you don't have a talent to sing, a talent to preach, or whatever it is you think you don't have, you know. And because of that, and I hope everybody's listening to me. I don't care your age. You better be listening, because this affects everybody, you know. And when I'm done this teaching, you know, you can't say that you were not told, you know. So, you know, I'm telling it to you now, you know. Now, you can't say because you were not this person or you are not that person. And people compare themselves all the time, you know. And instead of doing the thing that God knew that they could do and gave them the talent for that, they bury their talent because they want to be somebody else. You know, everybody wants to be something else that they were not called to be, you know. And instead of doing exactly what the Lord called them to be, you know, so complained about that. Well, why did you give me only 1? Why didn't you give me 5 like the other? Why didn't you give me 2? And so forth, you know, like the other one. So he didn't do anything. He buried his talent. And the same story. Verse 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it to the one that had 10 talents. So this is one part of the story today, or the lesson today. Use it or what? Lose it. Use it or lose it. That's one part of the lesson today. Now, in both of these stories, the lessons are the same. But I want to read quickly some scriptures to us today to highlight one more point that I'm bringing out of this. The first one is Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Luke 8 verse 18. Turn with me and read that quickly. Luke 8:18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Now, we come into these messages, we hear things that the Lord tells us and so on and so forth. But take heed how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Notice this. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. Now, this is Jesus talking this. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. He knows exactly what he is saying. You know, and I'm going to show many scriptures to illustrate this point, and we're going to bring out a very serious viewpoint here. The person that is receiving the word of God and acting upon it and making it fruitful in their lives, to them will more of the word of God be revealed. The one that is receiving the word of God or hearing the word of God and not taking heed, like you say, take heed how you hear, you know, pretty soon the Lord may not even tell them anything. And the one that they thought they had might even be taken from them. Now, so we see, I'm going to read a few more scriptures. I'm taking it slow today because it's kind of a teaching. Read a few more scriptures about this. Now, we find in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 12, the same kind of thing that Jesus said. Matthew 13 and verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now, some people may not know that these sayings are in the scriptures, because you may say, well, that's not fair. Well, that's not how God operates. God operates by his own principles. If he gives you something and you do something good with it, you'll get more. And if you don't do anything, you'll get nothing. And you may even lose that little which you thought you had in the first place. Look at also Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. All these scriptures bring out these same principles. Mark chapter 4, 24, he said unto them, take heed what you hear. Same thing. The same measure you meet shall be measured unto you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. This is what I said before. If you are hearing the word of God and partaking it, Jesus one time said, you cannot hear my word because you are not of God, and you cannot understand my speech, you know, and so forth. Now, if you hear the word of God and you take heed unto, hear in this particular place means more than just, you know, listening to the preaching. Hear means taking heed. Because it's take heed what you hear. If you take heed, then you are considered as somebody that is hearing. Not only hearing, but also doing. Jesus said, you know, here is the man that I will liken, that hears my words and doesn't do them. It's like somebody that built his house on the sand. But he that hears it and does them, it's like somebody that builds his house upon the rock. And you know that story. So, let's take a look at some other scriptures to further this point. Let's look at John chapter 15. In this John chapter 15, Jesus talks about the vineyard and the husbandman, which is the vineyard keeper or the vine dresser, you know, and he talks about himself being the vine, and that we being the branches. So I'm going to read the first two chapters of John 15. So John 15, chapter 1. 15, verse 1 and verse 2. Let's read those. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or he is the garden keeper. You know, and look at what he said. Verse 2 is where I'm really going here, but verse 1 shows us that, you know, it's his thing. This is God's thing. You know, it's his garden, it's his thing, and he's the one that's doing the thing. You know, but there's some expectation that he wants. Now, every branch in me. Now, these are not branches that were not in him. You didn't say every branch. No. Every branch in me. So they were already in him, but they are not bearing fruit. See? Because Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. So he's not talking about unbelievers here. He's not talking about people who don't care about the Lord. He's talking about every branch that's already in me that doesn't bear fruit, my Father take it away. Let's cut them off. But every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it so that he may bring forth more fruit. You know, that's the same principle. The one that's doing something, God will give them the ability to do even more. Praise the Lord. The one that's doing nothing, he cut them off. You know, he doesn't have time for somebody who's doing nothing. You know, you can read this chapter of John 15 and you can get a lot of things out of it. It's not so much here. It's not so much what you did wrong. It's what you didn't do at all. You know, so it's not about, oh, he did this or he did that wrong. No, it's that what they did not do, did not bring forth fruit. Didn't bring forth fruit. And that's why I cut them off. And, you know, he said, look, if a man abide in me, then it's well with them. My words abide in them, verse 7. They can ask whatever they will, and it will be done for them. But if a branch abide not in me, in verse 6, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire. Yeah, that's not where we want to be. You know, we don't want this to be an illustration of what will happen to us. But this is what Jesus is saying. And Jesus doesn't mince words and just say things. His words have meaning. Now, if a branch is not being fruitful, they're going to be cast off. But the one that's being fruitful, the Lord is going to help it, purge it, prune it, so that it can bring forth even more fruit. These are the principles of the kingdom of God. Now, it goes into every area, even in the giftings of the Spirit. You know, if the Lord gives you a gift and you are not using it, well, you know, what may happen? If you use it, you know, do you know the reason why most people, when they're baptized with the Holy Spirit, all they do is ever speak in tongues and nothing else? Well, you know, not to say that one gift is less or more than the other, but, you know, the speaking in tongues is one of the more common gifts. I just use the word common, you know. And if you don't do a good job with that, you may not even get more. And all you know is that people are just speaking in tongues, but there is no power in their lives. The Holy Spirit is not even there sometimes. They're just speaking in tongues, you know, because they're not producing fruit, you know. And he starts out with that one, and that's all they do for years. And then they don't make any progress. They don't do anything else. Well, he might just cut them off. And they, you know, before they realize it, that they are actually cut off, it's like Samson. You know, he didn't know the power was gone. And he was bestirring himself like at other times. But power was already gone. You know, it's like in the days of Eli. You know, they didn't know the glory of God had departed. But they were thinking, and that's why it's called Ichabod. The glory of God has already departed. You know, so, you know, people may not know that the glory of God has already departed. They are still speaking in tongues and doing all these other things. But they are not bringing forth fruit. You know, and they may already have withered away. It's just left for the gathering and the throwing in the fire. That's not your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's read a story here that will help illustrate the point even further. Mark chapter 11. And this is a wonderful story that we read or teach from many times when we are teaching faith. Because I love to teach on the subject of faith. I'm sure many of you know that. You know, and this story, I mean, this a portion of this talks about faith a lot, and we preach from it several times. So let's look at Mark chapter 11, and I'm going to read verses 12 to 14, and then I'll jump to verse 19. So this story in Mark chapter 11, let's see what it talks about. Mark 11, verse 12. On the morrow, they were come from Bethany. He was hungry. And what happened when he was hungry? And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if perhaps he might find any fruit on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Now, pay attention to this story, you young folks, and everybody in here, you know. Jesus saw, he was hungry and he saw this fig tree. This fig tree is supposed to produce fruit, figs. You know, they ate figs in those days and so on. And Jesus saw this fig tree afar off, it had leaves. So it had the appearance that he was doing something, but really wasn't bringing for fruit. So Jesus came a bit closer And, you know, maybe he'll find some fruit on it. And when he found nothing but leaves. But look at the commentary that they put at the bottom in verse 13, the last sentence there. They put a commentary there. It said, for the time of figs was not yet. You know, there's a time, there's a cycle in the year when this thing brings forth fruit. You can't just come during the time when it's not supposed to be having fruit and expect fruit on it. It wasn't time. You know, but yet Jesus expected fruit of it. So that's the first lesson in this story. For Jesus, it is in season and out of season. Can somebody say amen to that? There is no out of season with him. You should be producing all the time. And if he comes and you're not producing, here's what happens to this tree. So he came and he was not producing, you know, even though Jesus knew that it wasn't time for the figs. I mean, it wasn't time. But this thing had appearance that it was doing something. It had the leaves. It had the bunches of leaves. Maybe they looked like figs or whatever. It had an appearance. You know, Jesus said to the church in Smyrna, he said, thou hast a name that thou livest, but are dead. You know, it had an appearance that they were doing something, but they were really not bringing anything on. You know, so Jesus said to him, you're done. That's it. No man will eat fruit of you forever. Now, that's a serious something. When he said it, his disciples heard it. You know, nothing seemed to happen. But when they came back the next day in verse 19, when the evening was home, they went out of the city. And in the morning, they passed by the next morning, and they saw that the tree had dried up from the roots. Because the moment he said it, it died. But it took a little bit of time for it to dry up from the roots. Now, that tree had leaves. And it was probably a big tree. Because, you know, it's a little thing, but it grows up to be a big thing. You know, and it had branches, and maybe the birds of the air were making nests in it, and it was providing shade to people, and maybe they were cutting it down to make firewood or whatever. It was doing all kinds of things, and he probably thought he was doing some good, you know, but he wasn't producing what Jesus was looking for. Is somebody still with me? At that particular time, Jesus didn't care that he provided shade to people. Jesus didn't care that the tree, that birds of the air were perching on the tree and so forth like that. He didn't care that, you know, the tree was being used for these other things. He wanted fruit. And he didn't get the fruit. And he said, you're done. Because you're not bringing forth the reason for which you are here. Now, you may be doing some all the other things, you know, but so each one of us will give account of ourselves to God. Amen. You need to identify the purpose of God in your life. Don't be trying to be like somebody else. One time Jesus, after the, you know, his resurrection and so forth, he came to the disciples and he asked Peter a few questions. Do you love me? Three times. And Peter was upset. So finally, you know, he said to him, look, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. You know, and so on. So Peter turns around and say, okay, what about John? You know, and Jesus said, what is it to you? What is it to you? Don't worry about John. You do your thing. Amen. Because Peter was the whole time worrying about John. What about John? Why are you telling me to feed my sheep? What's John going to do? Jesus is not talking to John. He's talking to you right now. You know, mind your own little business. Take care of your own thing. You know, don't worry about John. God has whatever he wants John to do. Amen. That's the problem with people today. I always worry about somebody else. You know, if you're the only one coming to the prayer meeting and so forth, you get discouraged. Say, why other people are not coming? Don't worry about that. If the Lord called you to it, you'll be doing it. Amen. Don't worry about somebody else who's not doing it. You know, that's their own business. To their master, they stand or fall. Everyone will give account of themselves. Nobody's going to escape. Now, you know, so here are some wonderful promises for those who are actually producing. Besides the fact that God will enable them to do even more, there are some real wonderful promises that I will read to you as we close this lesson. And I will review what we are talking about now before I read these promises. What we are talking about today is that if you do not use your God-given talent, it will be taken from you and given to somebody else. Now, it also means that when Jesus comes with his reward, you may not get any reward. It may be like a shameful day, you know. I remember when I was a young man in high school, we used to have this thing called Prize Giving Day. And, you know, they call you up. If you were the star for mathematics or science or this or that, and all the parents were there and the chair and everybody clap and so on. And some people got nothing. Some others got a lot of things, you know. And some people were, you know, magnified on that day. Other people were ashamed, you know. So on that day when Jesus comes, behold, I come quickly, bringing my reward with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. You know, what is your reward going to be? Now, if you are faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much as well. And if you are not faithful in little, then it might be taken from you and given to another. And so I'm just reviewing the things we have read so far. Another scripture which I want to leave with us today is in the book of Luke chapter 16. Let me just read that one real quickly. Luke chapter 16. I just want to read one verse to us in there. Verse 10. This is another scripture for you to write down because we've read it in many places. It's all over the place. We've read in about 3 or 4 places already. He that is faithful in the that which is least will also be faithful in that which is much. But he that is unjust in the least will also be unjust in that which is much. And we have seen how the Lord frowned at the tree that wasn't producing, even though the tree was there doing other things. Now let's look quickly at the rewards for the more rewards. We've already seen how the Lord, you know, announced blessings for the ones that were faithful. But let's look at more rewards for those that are faithful. Let's look at Luke chapter 12, verses 42 to 48. Luke 12 and verse 42. You know, I love this text, you know. I committed it to heart, you know, because it means a lot. Because, you know, this text says, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom whom the Lord has made ruler over his household to give them their meat in due season, you know? Who is that faithful servant? Again, this could be to ministers of the gospel. It could be to anybody. You know, God has given you something to do. You know, who is that faithful servant? You know, here's what happens to that faithful servant in verse 43. Blessed is that faithful servant whom when the Lord cometh shall find him so doing. If the Lord comes and he finds you doing what he asked you or committed into your hands to be doing, blessed are you. Amen. You know, of a truth, here's what the Lord will do. You know, he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Isn't that wonderful? You know, this is the same lesson we've heard today over and over again. You know, but and if that wicked servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat his men or servants and, you know, and so forth, and oppress them and be drunken and eating and so on and all these kind of things. Well, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day that he looketh not for him. You know, and we shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites and the unbelievers. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, so that's not a good thing. But if he found them so doing, he said the Lord should give him rulership over many things. Jesus said, behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I'm gone, I will come and receive you unto myself. Did you know that there's a lot of things that God is getting ready for us? And, you know, it's not just, we're not just going to sit around the throne and do nothing. You know, there's scriptures in the Bible. One day we'll have a chance, we'll talk about, we'll have Bible story to see all the things that will happen. From all the parables of Jesus and the things that we'll see going on in other parts of the Bible, we understand that there's many more things for the elect of God to do even after this place. You know, some will be in rulership and some will be ashamed, and their portion will be with the hypocrites and so forth. We don't want that. Now, listen to this final scripture in John chapter 12 and verse 26. I want us to take a look at this. John 12 and 26. And if you are in the ministry or you're serving God, you know, of any kind. Now, this is not just for people who are in the ministry. If you are serving the Lord, ye shall serve the Lord. Him shall you serve. You shall serve the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And him shall you serve. You shall have no other gods before me. If any man serve me, this is a wonderful promise. If you are serving the Lord, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Can you say amen to that? If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now that's the honor that we want. Jesus said, I do not receive the honor of men. I have one that honoreth me, of whom you say he is your Father. If you God were your Father, he said you would love me and so on. He chided them there. But what we see here is that there is a honoring to come from God to those that faithfully serve him. Amen. Not the honor from men. You know, that's premature. So you can't have it both ways. You know, if you want the honor from men, you can't get the honor from God. You know, you can't have it both ways. You know, Jesus said to them, he said, you have your reward. Why? Because they like to pray long prayers so that good people will see them and so forth and all that. And they like to be seen of men and do all of these things and so on. And Jesus said, well, that's great. You have your reward. But you can't have you can't have the reward twice. You have your reward now because you receive honor from man. But if you want the true honor from the Lord, you need to be faithful until he comes. Amen. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And not only saved, he that endureth to the end in the calling wherein God has called him, he said, let every man abide in the calling wherein he is called. He that endureth and is faithful to the end in that calling wherein God has called him shall be blessed. Amen. But if you quit, then you might even lose a little, even that which you seem that you have. So from today, I want to challenge everybody and the young people too. Don't say, well, I'm not like that other person and I don't have these gifts that they have and I can't sing like they sing and I can't preach like they preach. Well, there's something that God knows that you can do because he distributed to every man severally according to their abilities. But if you are not using the ability that God gave you, you are liable to lose it. You better use it or lose it. The rewards of God are coming. Jesus is coming. It's a sobering teaching today, not the kind of excitable ones that we preach sometimes, but the Lord is coming soon with his reward. And it is time for us to take inventory and take stock of our lives and see, are we that faithful servant whom when the Lord cometh shall find us so doing as he intended? Or are we the make-believe? You know, that fig tree was a make-believe. You know, they were having, he was having other, you know, agendas, doing other things and so forth, but not really doing the thing that the Lord wanted. And despite all the things that the fig tree thought he was doing, because he didn't produce the exact fruit that the Lord wanted, at the end of the day, the fig tree was rejected. Now that is not going to be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand up and we're going to pray. I want everybody to pray individually for themselves. We want to pray that the Lord will give us the grace to be that true, faithful, and wise servant whom when the Lord cometh shall find us doing what he wants us to be doing with the talent that he gave us. Don't be the person that buried your talent because it might be taken from you. And don't be like the church that Jesus spoke unto and said, thou hast a name that thou livest but are dead. Don't be like the fig tree that just had appearance. You know, he had the leaves, but he had no real fruit. It looked as if he was doing something to impress people, but he didn't impress the Lord. The person that you want to impress is the Lord Jesus. Amen. Don't worry about impressing anybody else. It's the Lord you want to impress. You know, when we are so consumed with impressing other people, we are just like that fig tree. We may be carrying on doing something else other than what the Lord is really looking for, at the end of the day, that fig tree was rejected because he didn't do the real thing that the Lord wanted. But remember what he said. If any branch in me is bearing fruit, my Father is going to prune it and help it along to get even more fruit. You know, and herein is my Father glorified, in that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. You know, this is what God wants for us. He wants a life of fruitfulness, and that's how he's going to judge. At the end of the day, you know, and he, you know, it doesn't have to be until he physically comes in his second coming. You know, he can judge at any time he wants, because that fig tree, the day of judgment of that fig tree did not wait until the season of fruit. Jesus showed up when the fig tree was least expecting it, and they didn't have fruit, and said, well, it's not yet time. Well, who knows? You know, some people say, well, the Lord is not coming yet, and do anything they want. Well, you know, Jesus can show up at any time for you. And when he does, you know, it may be your day of reckoning. And it's not only until we all gather up there and so forth. He didn't call you at any time. Give accounting of the talent and the giftings of God in your life. And if you're not doing the right thing with it, you may lose it and he may move on. And now, let's remember, it's a great privilege for us to serve the Lord. Amen. Lift up your hands and let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for an opportunity to be of service to you. Jesus said, you did not call me or choose me, but I chose you. So Lord, we thank you because you chose us. It wasn't because we chose you. And you ordained us that we should go forth and bear fruit, and that our fruit should remain. This is what the Lord wants from us. He wants your fruit to remain. He wants you to be fruitful. Now, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Judge yourselves that you may not be judged. If you have not been faithful and you have not been doing that which the Lord called you to do, you put everything else ahead of what the Lord actually called you to do. I'm not talking about being called to be a preacher only, you know, but there is a gifting of God in your life, whatever it is. If you're not using it, you know, you already lost your reward. You know, but there is hope today. And there is opportunity for us to turn our lives around today and put our hands in the hands of the Master and walk with him. And there's a great promise. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be. And if you serve me, the Lord said, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Father, we are looking for that honor that is from you. Not from the honor of men. Not for the honor of lips. Because lip service means nothing. But the honor from God, in Jesus' mighty name. Enable everyone, Lord, to be able to find that talent that God has put in them and to be able to use it for the Lord. And those of us, by the grace of God, those of you who by the grace of God are doing well, the grace of God be multiplied unto you to do even better in Jesus' name. If you are already doing something with what God gave you, he has promised that he will prune it, he will shape it, he will make you do even better. Hallelujah. And if you have not been doing what you should have done or been doing, this is a wake-up call today. You know, wake up and be doing what he wants you to do. Because if you don't use it, you might lose it. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We're looking for that promise. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give unto every man according as his work shall be. And the Bible warns us and says, the foundation was already laid. You know, what are you building upon it? If you are building upon it gold and silver and precious stones, you're going to get that kind of reward too. But if you are building upon it hay, stubble, and wood, the fire will test it. And if it's burned, that would be a great loss. We don't want to have that loss in Jesus' name. We don't want to be the one that is a cut that unfruitful and wicked servant asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. Put him asunder that shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want to be that. But we want to hear the one where he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. May the Lord grant his grace to every one of us to fulfill the Lord's destiny as appointed for us in our lives In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.